Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 268, part 2, the conclusion to Self. Today is Sunday, November 25th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
And so now in private, you must admit to God in prayer, Lord, I am vile. I have found something in my heart, which after I have bolted my doors against, and I think, now I'm safe. This something I'm talking about creeps forth and unlocks every bolt and lets every sin in. And you start to it starts to unlock these doors. Click, bang, and the board comes out, and the lock comes off, and the heavy bolts are loosened. And that alcohol spirit creeps in. And that lies and those drugs and that divisionary spirit. And that gossipy spirit, and that envious spirit, which is the rottenness of bones. Friends, we have in us such an awful tendency to do evil, only grace can keep us from it. And I think this is where the legalist is blinded. By his own self-righteousness, this grace cannot defend him. No, not one iota. You know why? Because he has no mercy. A self-righteous person can show no mercy because they're too busy looking self-righteous. And so they always have to contend with someone else that's a little below them. Come on. And then the law, the Bible says, only provokes and gives sin the power it craves. To rob and kill and destroy, such the Bible says, is demonic, satanic. I know this. Gary Hart's murder was spawned from our unmerciful actions as Christians. Murder. Character assassination was brought about when they looked at what the Christians were doing to one another. They said, well, they got by with it. And what the whole thing is going to come to here is a political shim-sham. Can you imagine the people that do that now? Where they are at? Do you think that they need mercy also? I certainly do. I think they need mercy more than the person that they gave no mercy to. I know all the soldiers, real soldiers of Jesus Christ, have felt these uprisings of corruption. Haven't you felt that in your own members, that uprising of corruption? Haven't you agreed with sometimes the accuser of the... Well, yeah, you know what they say, holds a lot of weight, yeah. And you really didn't know for sure anything. Didn't know a thing, but, well, if it's true, then you feel these uprisings in yourself. And please, listen on the radio, please do not make yourself a bigger liar by saying otherwise. Don't do it. Or the Bible says, because of that pride, great will be your fall. Or great will be your unloving act, or great will be your rebellion, or great will be your hidden hate. You listening on the radio, do you have any hidden hates? Well, everything that's hidden will show up, it says. How many know everybody has hidden hates? Oh, come on, put them out there, hey. Well, no, they're not hidden, are they? They're not hidden because you have to deal with them. See, it's so simple. It's simply being honest with yourself. It's simply being realistic. So many times we can get into spiritual highs where we're so spiritual. They don't even look real. People can't even relate to us. But now I must add to this. We do not use this fact to excuse our sins. Don't do like some and play with sin and say, well, I guess I'm not quite free of corruption, while planning sin number 1001. See, such person have people have no visible part or lot in God's government. And I think truly a loving child of God, though he knows sin is there, hates sin. Maybe he can't overcome it at that point. But he hates that which he can't overcome at that point. It is a pain and a misery to him. And he never makes the corruption of his heart in any way an excuse for corruption of his life. And he never pleads the evil of his nature as an apology for the evil of his conduct. And so if any of us try and clear our consciences by blaming it on our evil heart, we deceive ourselves. And so even the best men have sin still remaining in them. Well, look at Paul. Would you say he was a saint to be looked at? To follow as an example? I would, because he was honest. Well, what does this sin which remains in our hearts do? It checks every good thing. It puts a check mark on it. You have felt that when you would do good, the Bible says, that evil was present with you. How many know that that's the truth? You want to give somebody some money, they're having a hard time, and you take it out, and evil says, no. You know, you're wrong. You wanted to give them $100 or $1,000. No, cut it down. $550, $565 in there. Whenever you want to do good, evil is always present. Oh, I shouldn't do that. And then we go ahead and do it. You start to pray, and evil is always present. You start to pray. You say, okay, now I'm going to pray 15 minutes every morning. You get down, or you're in the evening, get down, and you're going to pray. Right away, what do you think of? Ham and cheese on rye. Some mustard on it. It's going to be a long prayer meeting here with God. You go to the ice box, and you get some potato chips and a Pepsi. Better put some ice in it. It's going to be a long prayer meeting. A large glass. Maybe take the whole 2-liter bottle with you, okay? And so when you want to do good, evil is always present. Well, I didn't say that. The Bible said it. It's always there. Always. It's the double nature. Well, in the world, they call it a split what? Personality. It's no big weird thing. The Bible tells you all about it. How many know we have split personalities? We're one way with some people, and we're another way with other people. That's why the Bible says we follow after any wind of doctrine. Whew. But it checks out everything good. You start to get ready for church. Evil is present. Mom, where's my belt? This has got to be the dumbest child. I can't find my car keys. I told you to put them in the little thing. And then the wife has to take her purse out and dump the whole thing out. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just the way they do it. But the evilness is there. Isn't it? Isn't it there? Why not learn to accept those things? Why not buy your wife a smaller purse? They even got beepers now so you can find your keys. I suppose people were going to murder each other when they lost their car keys. So now they got a beeper. Goes, beep, 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 beep. And it gets louder as you get towards the keys. Beep, beep. Hey, over here! Oh, I heard you on the radio. Not holy enough for you? No, too much truth for you. Keep it simple, stupid. That's what the Lord tells me all the time. And so, it's always there, wherever good is. Oh, boy, church today. Huh? Seems like you determined to do better, and evil is always present. Every suggestion from the Spirit is an excuse for the flesh to argue. Well, down at the bread run, we had someone working the bread run one time, and they said, you know what, do you have any dark bread? And you were passing out these bags of bread like this, you know, hum, 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 hum. You know how fast that goes. Go down the line. Hurry up. Get over there. Hurry up. Get over here. And someone says, do you have any Russian dark bread with the Russian walnuts in it? Does that bring your evil nature to the surface? Or do you learn that people are people? Say, you know what? I haven't run into one of those in a long time. But when I do, I'm going to think of you. That's all they want to hear. That's all I want to hear. When I do, I'm going to lay it aside. Russian rye, was it? Russian walnuts? It's yours. Keep it going. You call it conning? Might be. It's a better way than letting the old evil nature come forth. Russian rye bread with walnuts. Take what you get. You make me sick. Huh? No, I've actually seen people get like that. And this guy said, he was so upset. He says, see this person over here? These Hmong people? They have the kids run. I says, well, I says, yeah, they're pretty inventive, all right. And so I watched the same person that complained. And they had a different trick. Take all that food out of here and take it over to your car. And may God bless your tires so they don't go flat on the way home. So you got to keep your sense of humor in things, too. You get the point across to the Hmong people, and you get your point across to the complainer. And you just try to be at peace with all men as much as is within you, the Bible says. Sometimes there ain't a whole lot within you. That's being honest. Be at peace with all men as much as is within you. I was waiting tables. We probably had about 400 people at noon. The guy's, where's my steak? I says, it's in the kitchen. I got mushrooms and onions on it, cooking them up. By the way, take that pepper shaker out of your top pocket. It has a habit of jumping in people's pockets. Thank you. Ooh. Are you hearing this? No, there's always that within us, that evil churning, waiting for an excuse. You want to do good? You went down. I'm going to go down. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to just go down and serve the Lord. I'm going to, oh God, thank you for this opportunity to help these great people. Then somebody insults you. Can't you move any faster? Sometimes when we get older, we get kind of bossy and we get kind of, you know what I mean? And some of the gals down there, they might be, well, they have a right. And then they're like 80 years old. That's why I move them all. There's method in my madness. And people say, isn't that nice? He has all of the old elderly people go up and they're served first. That's because I'm getting that way myself. And I think that's the way to do it. And plus, older people, when they have to wait a long time, their legs get tired, but their mouth doesn't. Come on now. Get all the elderly up here first. In that they made it down there was a miracle. In that they can carry 200 pounds is a miracle. No. Well, you say, I have not sinned in 2 months. Are you hearing this? So what? That's a lie. Been all kinds of sins going on in your mind. And listen, even if it were possible that you could live 1 hour without one evil thought in your heart, it is still evil. If it were possible I could live 4 days without a single temptation from my own heart to sin, it would still be as evil as before. And so the heart is either displaying its vileness or preparing for another display. It's always getting ready. The heart is either loading its cannon or firing a cannon at us. You may rest assured that the heart is never any different than it was. The evil nature is still evil. And when there is no fire, it is storing up wood for another blaze. There's also, it's storing up all that it can gather from our joys and from our victories and from our holinesses and from all that we do, some materials to attack us with in the future. Well, you did it, but you didn't do it this way. And so that evil nature, and I'm closing here, that evil nature, evil only and continually, do not for 1 minute think you can make it moral. I have to laugh at these little words they put over. Moral majority. Well, that naturally would make the world mad. That's judging the world. Judge not the world, for they're already in a judge. That's judging the world. We're the moral majority. You're a bunch of scumbags. We will carry signs in front of your stores. We will machine gun all of your whiskey. I wonder sometimes when they get after these porno freaks, if some of them just don't want to take a peek themselves. Let's see what the world's into anyway. Oh, look at this filth. Look at this. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, disgusting. Hide it under the mattress. Oh, I feel someone on the radio running to their mattress right now. But anyway, the new nature must always wrestle and fight with it. And then when the two natures aren't fighting, it doesn't mean they have come to a compromise, an agreement, if you will. When they are not in battle, they are still foes. When you're at peace, when you think, now, how did this day happen? I had peace all day long. And you try to relive the whole day. Now, how did I have this day? Let's see, I'm going to live it one step at a time. I got up, I brushed my teeth. Well, I always do that. But did I brush them the same way? And then the kids came in. I wasn't upset that day. All right, children, eat your maple. And they were all smiling and happy. Oh, good. Everything went fine. And the cleaning of the house went great. And everything. And the telephone calls were great. Hi, how are you? Oh, fine. Well, can I come over and help you? Sure. Come on over. How many have those days when everything comes up roses? Just great. Now, I'm not trying to be a defeatist. I'm just have to say that there aren't all going to come up that way. Life is not a bed of roses. It would be boring if every day was like that, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you get sick of each other if you're all, hi, how are you? Fine. Huh? Finally, your old evil nature would say, oh, stop smiling like a chessy cat. No, don't trust your heart at any time. And how many, even you who are as perfect as Job, will admit there are times when you must say, behold, I am vile. And I believe there are some people that are like Job. For the most part, they do things pretty well correct. But when the light of the Holy Spirit comes in, behold, I am vile. And so let's look at the danger we are under from such an evil heart. Have you ever thought of what a solemn thing it is to be a Christian? I think few have. And I believe there is not a believer in all of the whole wide world who knows what a miracle it is to be kept a believer. That in itself is a miracle, that you are kept to be a believer. And God says, I will keep you. You are kept by the power of God. Someone can't take it away from you. You can't take it away from yourself. Because once you're saved forever. Now a guy told me, he says, Well, I come from a church where, you know, and the guy got up and says, well, I fell because I wasn't really, really born again. And he got up and he gave a testimony. You know what? I thought I was saved, but I fell, and so I guess I wasn't really saved. But now I really, really am saved. Because I travailed and I wept and I slithered into the altar and I know I'm saved now. Now, isn't that kind of a lie? Wouldn't that be like, okay, now here's your son, he's born. And he gets up and gives a testimony. I'm not really here. And he's 14, is it? 13? Okay, 13? 14? 14. Makes a big difference when you're 14, somebody calls you 13. And so can you see him now going back? And they put him in the crib. He's 14 years old?
Well, we were born again, no.
Huh? You ever hear that song? When I was 25, I guess I wasn't really alive. Huh? And so he goes on, he gets to be 25. Fell again. Guess I wasn't really saved. And he goes back in the diapers. And he gets to be my age and he's back in diapers and he's trying to be born again in the physical? No, you are stuck with that body. Who will deliver you from it? The Lord. In time. You're stuck with it. Might as well give your body to God as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto him, because it isn't holy and acceptable to anybody else but God. He sees it as a finished work. Don't you see this? Because he sees it as a finished work, because he sees you as holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers you. And that there is a nature on the inside that can't sin. Neither does it want to. Nor will it. When you start to realize that, you aren't pity-patting to the altar every time there's an altar call. Did you ever believe this? And can you ever imagine this? Realize that every hour we are kept from sinning is a miracle. See, the one danger of sin is that sin is within us. The kingdom of God is within us, but so is our sin. Satan, it says, has been kicked out, but he tempts our old sin nature from the outside. Now, if a captain has a city, and he has preserved it for years, and he just has to laugh at the enemy who can't make it over the walls. And those locked gates, aren't they great? But what if there is a traitor who holds the keys to the gates and opens them up to the enemy? Now not only must he fight the battle from the outside, those from the outside, but those that are within. That happens at a lot of churches. If the church on the inside is weak, that's where it falls. If we are weak within, the Bible says, greater is he that is within us than he that's of the world. When there is a traitor on the inside, and there is a traitor on the inside, it is called the old Adam nature. He has the keys. We have the freedom, it says, to go and to come. And yet, God's mercy says, you are kept by the power of God. Isn't that a message to give away? That's the only message you can give away. Now that you know yourselves, how can you give any other kind of message away? But anyway, here is the danger of a Christian. I could fight the devil. I could overcome every sin that ever tempted me if I had no enemy within. That's not the case. You do have an enemy within you. The evil heart within can do more damage than Satan on the outside. You know, Satan cannot read your mind. He only knows that you've listened to his suggestion when you go ahead and do the thing. No, how he hates it. When you say, I am cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, I am forgiven. Now, we could laugh at the enemy if it wasn't for our evil heart within. The agreeer within, the temptee within. Because the heart is the key keeper. Because the Bible says, out of it are the issues of life. And sin is there. Our worst thing to fear is the treachery of our own heart. And remember, Christians, the evil nature has a lot of backers. The sin nature has a lot of allies, all from the pit. The Bible calls them the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the pride of life. And so the strong and the powerful old nature, don't fellowship with it. Don't fool yourself like Samson. Because we all have that inward traitor within us. Have you heard this message today? I certainly hope you all heard it. I have learned to trust not in any of my own righteousnesses. Oh, don't do that. Keep going on with Jesus, people, and just let yourself, hey, you're going to falter, and you're going to fall, and you're going to have your problems. Satan is always going to come to tempt you. The battle isn't over because you're saved. It's just the beginning. It's called, the world calls it, the beginning of the end. It's already ended for you. You're not under judgment, but it's just the beginning of the end. No, that evil nature is still within you. Watch daily. Watch perpetually. Watch your hearts. Watch them. Hey, let the grace of God keep you. Think yourselves nothing out there on radio land. You know why I think yourselves nothing? Because there you are nothing. And listen, the blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything. It's still got power. It still can deliver you. It still can keep you. And so we today have traveled through the land of self. And we're still experiencing going through the land of self, tra-la, tra-la. Come as you are. Well, that's my message, but it reminds me of a song. Come as you are without a plea. Christ Jesus came, my friends, for you and me. Listen not to your heart as it beckons to thee. Oh, come on, ye sinner, and be made free. Just come the way you are. Come to church the way you are, mean and cantankerous, and your one shoe on and one shoe off, and say, God, I am vile. Whew. Come to church because you had to hot wire your car because you lost the car keys, but come on in anyway. And you listen on the radio, hey, don't you ever think for a moment. And when we get into the scriptures like we got into Job today, that it isn't completely talking to you. Don't pass the message on back until a dog in the street has it, because it wasn't meant for you. It's meant for all of us. We are all sinners saved by grace, and praise the Lord. There is a work to do, and I just praise God for the work that we got down here to do it. It's great. I'm excited about it. Because busy hands, the world, you can learn a lot from the world. Busy hands are happy hands. When the hands ain't busy, the feet will take them someplace where they'll get busy. Right? Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Actually, that's the whole message. I said all that to get to that. Why didn't you say that in the first place? I got a roast burning in the oven. Long-winded. Oh, thought the guy would never end. You know why we're going to have a new body in heaven? Because we're going to praise God for 10,000 years at a time, see? He needs a new body. because we can't sit still for like 5 minutes. It's just the flesh. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? You're all born again.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 268. That was part two to self. If you missed part one, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you will find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those notes are scripture links. So be sure to check those out. Join us every Friday for part one of Pastor Paul's podcast and every Sunday for part two. Next Friday's message, peace. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Timmy.
Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody. And it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.